episode of Just a Minute.
Hello?
Ramesh, it's me, Ramesh.
Yes, hi Ramesh. What's with the trombone?
Got a virtual brass band session later.
Look, mate, did you want something? I'm a bit busy at the moment trying to make a difference for Red Nose Day.
Oh, now the fun starts. What are we doing?
Well, I was sort of thinking of keeping the kids entertained with a family challenge, or we could share a smile and put Red Nose Day posters in every single window of the house.
Quit the joking around, Ramesh. Fundraising is serious, man.
Right, sorry.
Call on your funny self for Red Nose Day. Find out how you can help. Search BBC Red Nose Day.
Well, next here on Radio 4, Sue Perkins takes the helm for a special edition of Just a Minute, with the panellists joining from their homes all over the country and, indeed, all over the world.
Welcome to Just a Minute! Hello there, Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, it's a pure joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. Now, as we're recording in this rather strange plague year, the panel and I are joining you through the magic of the internet over wireless connections, and we're also joined by an audience of 1,000 people who are listening in from their living rooms and bedrooms all over the country, and perhaps, who knows, even from around the world. We can hear them, we can't see them. It's my kind of audience. I imagine some of them only demi-clothed, just sitting there in their pants. Let me introduce you to the four wonderfully talented, delightful and definitely fully clothed people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Desiree Birch, Stephen Fry and Jenny Eclair. So please whoop, cheer and generally go absolutely wild for all four of them. So I'm going to be asking them all to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. Do you know what? I think that is a format that could work. Let's just see how it goes. So, Paul, we are going to begin with you. Now, the subject on the card is Sunset Boulevard. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on Sunset Boulevard, starting now?
Sunset Boulevard is a very famous movie from 1950, directed by Billy Wilder, who also co-wrote the script. It stars Gloria Swanson and Cecil B. DeMille. Eric von Stroheim. Buster Keaton plays a very small cameo role. And when I first watched the movie, I was looking for Buster's part and I was very disappointed when he turned up because he only says the one word. Unusually, the story is narrated by a dead character played by William Holden, who is found floating.
Yes, we have Stephen.
I think we've had played before. We had played the role.
Yes, we might well have done, yes.
We have had played the... Oh, yes. That split the crowd, Stephen. There was some light pavilion applause, appreciating what you've challenged, but also a groundswell, if I'm... It's almost football hooliganery type. It's amazing how liberated they are when we can't see their faces, I'd say.
That's what they say about the Ku Klux Klan.
So, a correct challenge from Stephen, a point to you. You get to carry on with the subject. You've got 31 seconds remaining, Stephen, on Sunset Boulevard. Your time starts now.
Sunset Boulevard is a grand thoroughfare in Los Angeles, which starts in the downtown area of the city and then goes to Echo Park, Silver Lake. It follows all the way, moving westward.
Paul, that's you on the old buzzer. What was your challenge?
Well, it's very harsh and it may not be right, but Stephen's such a good player with the game, but I felt I heard a hesitation in there.
There was a little perambulation. You're right, Stephen is one of the most accomplished players of this game, and if we can't hold him to a higher standard, then what are we doing? Paul, I'm going to say it's a correct challenge. Slight hesitation there. You have 16 seconds remaining and your time starts now.
The story was reworked as a musical by Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber. And when the man who originally had directed it went to see the show, he said, I think it would work...
Jenny.
Directed.
You said directed. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Jenny and Stephen together. Oh.
Well, if Stephen said it as well, then it's probably right. Directed.
Jenny, Jenny, my darling, if the one thing I can give you today is some self-confidence, I'm going to do that. Much as I often also refer to Stephen for validation. The great thing about this buzzing system is I can see who got there first, and you just pipped Stephen to the post. So remind me of your challenge.
It was exactly the same as Stephen's challenge. It was directed. The word directed was repeated twice.
You're absolutely right. That was a repetition. You get the point. You also get the subject with just 8 seconds remaining. Off you go. Your time starts now.
There is a little bit of Norma Desmond in all us aging old performers who are in this industry. That is...
Yay! Well done! Congratulations, Jenny. Speaking as the whistle was blown, you get the point. Now, Desiree, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a slightly controversial subject, but I know that you can more than handle it. The subject is... How to win at Monopoly, the source of many an argument in the Perkins household. You have 60 seconds starting now.
Being Mark Zuckerberg is probably the best way to win at Monopoly because you do have to gobble up every property in front of you, intellectual, virtual, actual. If you are playing this with a family, it is much easier because the intrinsic hatred that you hold for individual members will carry you through to the finish line of the game, which is ultimately to own everything in sight. Park Place is a really good property to get, as well as Boardwalk. Is that one? I believe so.
Do you know what? As an inaugural player to speak for over 30 seconds, a really good going. Round of applause. That's a stonking start.
Was it that long? Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Damn good for first good.
You owned it. Paul, you buzzed in.
There was a couple of hesitations.
Yes, I will give you that. So, Paul, you have 24 seconds remaining on how to win at Monopoly. Your time starts now.
Cheat.
Well, that did provide an answer.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Yeah. And for that, I'm going to give you a point because it's the correct answer, of course, for anyone who plays Monopoly.
Thank you.
But, Jenny, you buzzed in. What, according to the rules of just a minute, is your issue?
Hesitation just stopped. He stopped after one word.
Yes.
He did not continue.
It's only hesitation if I start again.
True that. Yes, we should have thought about the rules more carefully. I think just stopping also needs to be included. Hesitation, repetition, deviation. Just ending. Ending in the middle. Jenny, it's a correct challenge. You have 23 seconds remaining on how to win at Monopoly, and your time starts now.
I think the easiest way is to be the banker. That way you can squirrel some extra quids into...
Oh, Stephen was straight in there.
There were two ways. I think the easiest way and that way.
Oh, yes.
Straight in there, the jackal. The jackal has struck again.
Can we all have nicknames? Give Stephen the jackal.
Yes.
Can I? I'd like to be the ocelot.
Yes, we can be the ocelot. Desiree, any preference as to which zoological specimen you'd like to be?
Well, if we're going cats, I'm saying puma, although I think you guys say puma.
Yes, because puma sounds weird.
Wrong.
All right, then fine. I'm going to go with giraffe.
Yeah, you want to go with giraffe, okay. Or as we say in England, guy-raff. Jenny, as a sort of sidebar, what animal would you like to be referred at in a moment of panic from me?
Oh, I'll be a squid. I'll be a giant squid.
Oh, right.
Can I do that?
Right. Well, we're back with the jackal. He's got 17 seconds. Stephen, on how to win at Monopoly, your time starts now.
Well, I suppose if you have the opening square at the bottom right, I like what you would call the top row, which is the Strand, Fleet Street, Trafalgar Square, Fenchurch Station.
Ooh. Paul is in there. Ocelot, please, your challenge.
Repetition of square.
Yes.
Did I do two squares? How wrong of me. Sorry, well spotted.
Two squares.
Tell you what, and it's not just how to win at Monopoly, but how to win at just a minute. Paul, you've got 6 seconds remaining on this subject. Your time starts now.
The best way to win at Monopoly, and I'm going to say this very clearly so everybody understands this, is undoubtedly you must make sure that you are, without any question, the first person... That was longer than 6 seconds.
Time did seem to stand still, but
it went backwards.
Yes.
let me say this, the ocelot isn't happy.
No. Stephen, you buzzed in.
Well, I did feel the ocelot tripped over himself there in a sort of stumble of hesitation.
I did, because I was baffled as to how long it was going on for.
I think that's one of the early reviews for some of my shows, actually.
What, somebody wrote a review of your show that said the ocelot isn't happy?
Yes.
What are the odds?
You buzzed on the whistle, Stephen. So in accordance with the rules of Just a Minute, Paul, well done. You've completed the minute there. Well done. Well, listen, Stephen, this is your chance to for payback. We have got a cracker in store for you. New Zealand, that's your topic. What can you tell us about that wondrous place? Your time starts now.
Aotearoa, I think they call it, the land of the long white cloud. Down in the southern hemisphere, two large islands form the majority of this remarkable sovereign state. It was first... oh, dear. Sorry.
Jenny.
He hesitated.
He did.
He got it wrong. Stephen Fry got it all wrong. And the giant squid is very happy.
People are going to get inked.
Yes, they are. Jenny, a.k.a. the squid, remind us of your challenge, please.
Stephen Fry hesitated very badly.
Jenny, you get the point, and 43 seconds remaining. Can you tell us, please, something about New Zealand, starting now?
Do you know, it is on my bucket list to go to New Zealand. What an extraordinary trip that would be. Mate of mine said it was the most beautiful place. Also, parking tickets, laughably cheap. Doesn't matter if your car's stuck all over with them. They're about 50 pence a throw. I got that wrong, I'm so sorry.
Oh, you buzzed in there.
Repetition of 50.
50.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Well, listen, you've inherited New Zealand with 22 seconds remaining. Your time starts now.
Well, I've never been to New Zealand, and before this pandemic, I was seriously thinking of visiting that beautiful place. Stephen has given us some idea of what it must be like, and Jenny has given us indication of the fact that...
Stephen, you buzzed in.
Two givens. He repeated given.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely correct. Two givens. Oh, 7 seconds remaining.
Oh, and that can be a long time.
Brace yourself. 7 seconds starting now.
Some Polynesian islanders landed there in the 12th and 13th centuries, now called the Maoris, and then a few hundred years later, Captain Cook and...
Well, Stephen there, speaking as the whistle went, got himself that point. Jenny, you're up next, and the topic I have for you is the Easter Bunny. How timely. Do you know anything about the Easter Bunny? Well, we'll find
out. Not much sooner.
OK, it's going to be a long, long 60 seconds then.
It might not be.
No. Well, listen, you've got 60 seconds, Jenny, on the Easter Bunny, starting now.
The Easter Bunny is, of course, a fictional character. Sorry, kiddies, mummy and daddy lied. It should, of course, be called...
Oh, Stephen, straight in there with a challenge.
Well, there were two of courses.
Yes, there were.
Oh. I can't remember, Sue, to be quite honest. I can't remember, but I'm sure he's right.
Well, Jenny, you took just 9 seconds there of the allotted 60, and in doing so managed to destroy the hopes and dreams of the nation's children, so well done.
Job done.
Stephen, you have 51 seconds on the Easter Bunny and the time starts now.
Well, like Jenny, I don't know that much about the animal. I am aware that in Germany it's a hare rather than a rabbit, where the bunny applies to both of these Lepidus species. I'm not quite sure. But it bears eggs to children if they've been good, so rather like an Easter equivalent of a Christmas creature like Schwarzpeter or Father C or Santa Claus, of course. And I suppose I just...
Ooh, Jenny's challenge.
It was a repetition of or. And then hesitation.
I want to know who Father C is. It sounds like some sort of festive R&B artist.
I didn't want to repeat Christmas. I should have said Xmas.
OK, I mean, listen, it was a strict challenge, Jenny, but within the rules of Just a Minute, I'm going to accept it. So you've got the Easter Bunny, Jenny. It's because I want to see you have it again. Who knows? You might lose it again. 25 seconds starting now.
I was once staying in a mediocre hotel. In the morning, I went down to the breakfast room and there was a fully grown man dressed up as the Easter Bunny. And I realised at this point I suffer from a phobia. I think it's called masthophobia, where I do not like adults in skin costumes pretending to be species, especially when you realise that their breath stinks of whiskey and the outfit is very tatty.
Congratulations, Jenny. Speaking as the whistle went means you get the point, although I'd just like, on a point of order, say, aren't all humans in skin costumes?
Yes.
You could have got me on that. At the end of that round, just looking at the scores now, I can see that Stephen and Jenny are in the lead with 6 points each, but the other two not far behind. Who needs to get into points at this stage? It's all to play for, let's face it, and we're in it for the love, apart from Jenny, aka the squid. Okay, Paul, we are back with you again. The subject on the card is air conditioning. Now, can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, a repetition or deviation on air conditioning? Your time starts now.
Well, there's all sorts of shampoos you can use. Dandruff can be get rid of by a good conditioner. And if you rub it in tightly, you can make sure that the follicles are really shiny. And this is undoubtedly what any barber or indeed hairdresser would recommend to you. I personally like to dip my hair into what you would call a mixture of tar and cold soap. And this is...
Desiree's bars. Seven.
Is this an invitation for me to call deviation, or is this me just interrupting a riveting monologue?
It's not a riveting monologue.
Okay.
I can clear that one up.
I mean, I would say, in Paul's defence, that obviously we're operating in a virtual world, so no one's seeing the cards. They're just simply listening to what I'm saying. And Paul heard air conditioning and went with air conditioning. But to be fair, I think, Desiree, I'm going to uphold your challenge. I'm going to do what Nicholas would have done and give you the benefit of the doubt. So I shall try and emulate his pure goodness and say the subject is now yours. Air conditioning, however you'd like to approach that topic, is yours with 39 seconds remaining and your time starts now.
Both air and hair conditioning are subjects close to my heart, but as a Californian, I would say that coolness is probably at a premium at any time during August in particular. And I don't understand how many people get through summer in this country when they say, oh, it's only hot for a week, and they're miles underground inside of a coffin next to one another, breathing in each other's carbon dioxide.
That was a challenge from Paul.
Sorry, people are underground in a coffin. I mean, I know there's various stereotypes about the British that Americans believe, but honestly, we don't spend summer in a coffin.
Fair enough, I should not have maligned TFL in such a way. You are correct.
I mean, admittedly, within the rules of Just a Minute, your challenge was absolutely right, Paul. I'll give you a bonus point. But I'm quite keen to see how this goes for Desiree. I'm going to let her keep the subject.
All right.
You have 11 seconds on air conditioning and your time starts now.
Obviously, the entombment that I referred to is traveling on the tube, which is much not air-conditioned place that people have to get on regularly, at least in normal working times. And
got out of that brilliantly.
Well done. Congratulations, Desiree. You were speaking as the whistle went, which means you get the point, and you also get the next subject, which is going vegan. Can you speak without hesitation, deviation or repetition on going vegan? You've got 60 seconds starting now.
Going vegan is a topic that is on many people's mouths these days as we think about climate collapse. And I am probably in an excellent position to do this as I am already lactose intolerant, which means I am halfway there. I have previously had to suffer the indignity of foods that taste bad without cheese and knowing the truth about them. So I understand the final frontier is meat. However, there are a lot of animals walking around being very tasty. And I know that that makes it sound like it's the animal's fault for tasting like pork, which I guess...
Yes, that was the buzzer gone. And Stephen.
Well, animals, I think, came up a couple of times, too.
Yes, it was indeed a repetition of animals. But very good going. 25 seconds remaining for you, Stephen, on the subject of going vegan, and your time starts now.
I became vegetarian some years ago, and so like many in that position, I've been trying to go vegan as well, but finding it difficult. I stumble at the cheese obstacle, and eggs too are so versatile and useful. I've attempted to use things like nutritional yeast to make a good cheesy sauce, but it hasn't always worked out very well, and I do find that it's...
And Stephen, speaking there as the whistle was blown, gets the point. I have to say, I want nothing more than to meet a cheese obstacle. That's all I wish for now.
It would be an Edam. It...
Not just a pretty face. Come on, come on. Stephen, further treats abound because you have the next subject, which is balloon modelling. Ooh, have you ever balloon modelled yourself or perhaps been a balloon model? We shall find out. Tell us all. Your time starts now.
Balloon modellers seem to be living under the delusive idea that everything in the world looks like a dachshund. But in fact, it doesn't. It's just the way they bend their balloons into such shapes. It's not the most entertaining thing. They appear at children's parties, and I have to say, I think infants are not particularly impressed. It's the noise, that squeak sets my teeth on edge, and the possibility that at any moment there's going to be an explosion up pop, which will frighten the children and the parents will have to settle them down. And...
Jenny's buzzed in.
Yes, I did repeat children.
Yeah, that was it. Actually, Stephen, I'm not sure you did, though obviously I shouldn't be saying this out loud. I think you might say children and children's.
Yes, you're right. I didn't repeat children. One had a genitival S.
Did you say genitalia then? Sorry.
No, but we all wanted to think you did.
I said genitival.
Oh, sorry.
An apostrophe S.
And children and children's, and I think Stephen should be given the benefit of the doubt. And
well, he doesn't even need the benefit of the doubt because he didn't break the rules, Jenny. So.
Stephen.
On a sidebar, however, I would like to just mention that PowerGen, the energy company, had an Italian branch and it took them 6 months to realise it was called Power Genitalia. Okay, that was an incorrect challenge. So, Stephen, you get the point and you also get to keep the subject. Balloon modelling, you have 26 seconds. Your time starts now.
I've never really tried balloon modelling, but I believe the idea is you're supposed to stretch the balloon before then blowing it up and after inflation.
Paul has buzzed.
Was there a hesitation in there?
I'm going to give you that. It's strict, but I've started being strict with a jackal and I've got to continue, really, because, you know, one has to be consistent in all things. You have 18 seconds, Paul, on balloon modelling, and your time starts now.
The back of the stage, there used to be a man called Trevor Little who advertised himself as a balloon modeller. And as Stephen said, they are remarkably like dachshunds or giraffes. There is only so many different shapes that can be conjured up by twisting balloons together. Whoever...
Ah, Jenny, you have a challenge.
No, sorry, no, it's accidental. I just dropped my hand on top of my iPad and it buzzed and I apologise. I'm sorry. No, seriously.
OK, Jenny, that's an incorrect challenge. So...
I know!
But as it was an accident, if it's all right with you, Paul, I won't give you the point. I'm just going to have it as a sort of you carry on the subject.
Okay.
Okay, so you have 5 seconds remaining on balloon modelling. Your time starts now.
Let me tell you perhaps the fundamental thing about balloon modelling that everybody must understand.
I've just been told we're moving into the final round. It's the final round, everyone. Oh. I know. Good times sometimes have to end. Ah, Jenny, you have a challenge. Your topic in this last round is Googling yourself. Now, many people do it, few admit to it. What can you tell us on that subject, Googling yourself? You've got 60 seconds, starting now.
Googling yourself is the quickest path to madness, tears and upset. It usually coincides with one's third glass of red wine. You might as well just sit at your desk stabbing your face with a fork over and again, because all you find out is that everybody hates you, your work is worthless, and everybody... I've said that, and sorry. Yes.
Paul was quick to buzz in.
No, I was just going to say, no, not at all, Jenny.
Paul, do you have a challenge within the rules?
Well, there was a hesitation.
There was indeed a hesitation, I shall give you that. So you have 38 seconds remaining on the subject of Googling yourself, and your time starts now.
I'm not in the habit of Googling myself. I don't have a personal computer, so that makes life very easy for me. If I was to Google myself, I would take the precaution of closing the curtains, first of all, turning the lights down, and making nobody see I could... Oh, God.
Stephen, press the buzzer first.
I've used up all my words today.
What's your challenge, Stephen?
Well, it was a hiccup, a kind of collapse. Call it a hesitation, I suppose.
Yes.
Now, from Paul, who doesn't have a personal computer, to a man who is technologically extremely savvy, you've got 26 seconds remaining on the subject Googling yourself, Stephen, and the time starts now.
It always strikes me as a rather dangerous and worrying procedure to do it. It reminds me of the possibility that if you're in a hotel room and something from the CNN network comes on screen that includes an advert for the very hotel that you're in, which has happened to me.
Desiree.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Was that a repetition of hotel?
Hotel, yeah.
It was indeed. Well done.
Oh, my God, I'm finally in the game.
It is. You're absolutely right, Desiree. It's a correct challenge. And 7 seconds remaining on the clock on the last round. Tell us something about Googling yourself, starting now.
Googling yourself is an absolutely crucial aspect of being a performer in order to know your internet SEO and who you're reaching with what you're putting out. Yay! But in real life, don't Google yourself, seriously.
Can I just say, my Wikipedia entry, the first thing, I've only literally glanced at it under slight duress because I was informed of this. The first thing it says is, not to be confused with Miss America 1974.
Hang on, you're not Miss America 1974?
I'm sorry. Terrible way for you to find out, Paul. And at the end of the game, well, they all played marvellously. It seems somewhat churlish to have to award points, but here we go. In fourth place, our newcomer with a magnificent showing of 5 points, Desiree. Well done. Just sneaking ahead in third place, it's Jenny with 6 points. And it's tightly, tightly contested at the top. These titans of the game vying for first place. There could be only one. In second place, it's Paul with 9 points, which means this week our winner is Stephen with 10 points.
The jackal.
And there, I'm afraid, my darlings, we have to leave you. But first of all, a huge thank you to our lovely players of the game today. Paul Merton, Desiree Birch, Stephen Fry and Jenny Eclair. We also thank Ian Messiter, who devised the show, Caroline Barlow, who blew her whistle with aplomb, and our valiant producer, Victoria Lloyd, who makes this show for BBC Studios. This is Sue Perkins having the job of a lifetime and saying thanks for listening. Do join us again when we play Just a Minute. Goodbye.
Just a Minute is a BBC Studios production, and next week Nish Kumar will be in the hosting seat. Now, Kazuo Ishiguro has just published his 8th novel, the first to be written since he won the Nobel Prize for